Would to Ephesians chapter 5. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. My text will be verse 16, but I would like to begin reading in verse 14 and we'll read through verse 20. Ephesians 5, 14 to 20. Text will be verse 16. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our lives, we are accustomed to time constraints and deadlines. The milk in your refrigerator has an expiration date on it. And after that date, it isn't healthy or wise to drink it. If you don't pay your credit card bill on time, you will be assessed a substantial late fee. And if you don't clock in at work on time, you receive some sort of punishment. And yet the truth is, you can still drink the milk a day late and not get sick, or pay the fee but still maintain the card, or suffer the penalty at work but you still have a job. But sometimes the deadline is exactly that. The flight leaves at 10:15 in the morning, and once the plane takes off, it's too late to board. It's gone. Or your plan to make things right with the estranged family member is derailed because of his or her sudden and unexpected demise, and you were too late. Years ago, I had intended to witness to my uncle and tell him about Jesus. And I chose to wait until after his open-heart surgery, and he died on the table. I missed my opportunity to share Jesus with him. Well, just as I mentioned, in our service to Jesus Christ, it is possible to pass up opportunities, squander a prospect, or miss the occasion. And sometimes when the time has passed, the clock cannot be unwound. We will not have another chance. However, most of the time, another opportunity will prevail. So permit me to say the same is true for our service for the Lord. And perhaps you haven't been faithful to live for God, but there is still time. For as long as you live, you have a chance to turn things around and to live for Jesus. Maybe you didn't follow the Lord in your youth, but now you may. As the song says, I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. The refrain says, coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm looking at some of you who are up in years, and you might be thinking, I'm too old to do anything for the Lord. And then again, I am looking at some of you in your youth, and you might be thinking, I'm too young to serve the Lord. What can I do? And yet again, I'm looking at some who have life and vitality, the vim and vigor. You're in your prime, but you might be thinking, I'm too busy. I don't have time to live for Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not too late. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these that could be with us today. Our heart goes out to those that could not due to sickness and providential hindrance. That, Lord, you bless them and send healing to the sick. Keep those safe who are traveling. But we've come together today to honor you in spirit and in truth, to worship, to praise your name. We pray that you bless your word as it goes out today, that which you've laid upon my heart to share. Help those of us who are yours to recognize that we need to live for you while you give us opportunity. And we do pray for those in our midst who are lost that they would see their need of Jesus Christ, that today would be the day of their salvation, that you would, Lord, draw them to a place of repentance, Grant them life that they would be saved. Lord, just cause us to be drawn to You as we look into Your Word. Help us to learn the lesson of this passage and the other verses we'll be looking at. And help us to recognize it's never too late to follow after You. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's not too late. Let me offer you Paul's exhortation. Paul is in the practical section of his letter to the Ephesian people. This chapter opens up with a command to follow God. Look at verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. He then contrasts godly living by listing many ungodly things of which the Christian should avoid. And so you can look at verse 3 through verse 5 and see a listing of that. In fact, Christians who are children of light should not participate in the things of darkness, as you can glance and see what it says in verse 7 down through verse 12. And so the Christian is to stay away from those ungodly things, those things of darkness. Instead, the Christian should live for Jesus while they have opportunity. And we've read verse 14 down through verse 20. And this is followed by various instructions regarding living for the Lord, including among many, putting on the armor of God as listed in chapter 6, verse 11, down through verse 17. But that which is in our text, that verse 16, found in verse 14 through verse 20. Specifically, I would remind you that our text reflects our life for Jesus' sake. Back up and glance into verse 14 once again and recognize that if you're a child of God, then you're a child of light. And God shall give thee light. We are children of light. Verse 15 says we are to then walk as knowing our surroundings. The King James translators use that word circumspectly. But we say, know your surroundings. They warn you about that all the time as you go through our society. When you go to the store, you go down the street, know your surroundings. That's the word circumspectly. And so the Christian needs to recognize that we are children of light. We need to know our surroundings, but we come to our text in verse 16 and we ought to utilize our time well. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. That word redeeming means to buy out. It is to buy out of the hands of a person, but it is to redeem. It is to set free. It is to secure for one's own use. It may also be applied to the idea of to rescue. Rescue from a loss or misapplication. Redeem the time. Utilize that time. Buy back that time. There are several things I want to make application in regard to this redeeming the time, and I'm using the word opportunity. First of all, recognize that there is opportunity. If I'm going to redeem the time, I need to know that there is opportunity. There's availability, the possibility to live for Jesus Christ. There's the opportunity. Recognize that there is opportunity. Secondly, respond by seizing the opportunity. Sometimes we know that there is opportunity, but we never take advantage of it. My friend, it is possible for us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ despite our age today, and we need to see that and we need to seize it. We need to grab onto that. Yes, I want to live for Jesus' sake. And so recognize that there is opportunity. Respond by seizing that opportunity. Number three, resourcefully utilize the opportunity. That is, use it well. Apply it. Follow after it. Be faithful in your service for the Lord. Whatever that opportunity is, utilize it resourcefully. Number four, receive the opportunity despite our age. And that's really the application I make through this message, is that no matter how old you are, whether you're an old person, a young person, a middle-aged person, wherever you're at along the spectrum of age, God has given you opportunity. God gives you opportunity, and you need to receive that opportunity despite your age. And then number five, realize not all opportunities are fulfilled. We recognize that. I mentioned about failing to witness to my uncle. That was an opportunity that I did not take advantage of, and I could not undo it. We want to recognize that opportunities are not always fulfilled. I'm not encouraging you to not fulfill them. We want you to fulfill them. But the last thing is this, repent of squandered opportunities. Realize, you know what? I missed that chance. I blew that opportunity right there. And the only thing we can do is repent of it. God, please forgive me. Don't let me pass up another opportunity. And so what we find in Paul's passage and his exhortation to Christians to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to verse 16 and hone in on that concept, redeeming the time. Buy back that time. Use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what I'd like to do is share with you some biblical exhortation, not just Paul's statement here, but other biblical exhortations which teach us the same principle. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to offer you some lessons that we find in the text and the lessons that are found, but that the application that will be given to that. In Luke chapter 19, in verse 12 through verse 27, there's a lesson on responsible duty. The owner of the household goes into a nobleman, he goes into a far country, and he has servants, and he gives these servants an obligation and responsibility to fulfill. And so all this is supposed to be discharged by these servants in his absence. And I just direct your attention to a reminder in the parable itself where it says in verse 13, Luke 19, 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And that's the phrase I want to emphasize for just a moment. Occupy till I come. That word occupy means to be occupied with or employed in any business or trade. It comes from a Greek root word which means to practice or to perform. And so when we read verse 13, we see that he calls his servants and he gives them some obligation. He tells them to occupy till I come. You need to do something while I'm gone. And so the man is going to go away. The nobleman is going to leave. He is giving these obligations unto his servants. And those servants are to fulfill those obligations. Now here in this passage we find that there are 10 servants who are going to receive 10 pounds. Sum of money. And he's supposed to utilize that money in a proper fashion for the nobleman while the nobleman is gone. It's those words I want to remind you of when you think about redeeming the time. You think about occupy till I come. Every one of us have been given an obligation or a duty from the Lord, and we need to occupy till He come. Secondly, go to the book of Luke chapter 12. Go back a few pages. Luke chapter 12. The first was a lesson on responsible duty, very similar to this, and very close in parallel concept to this parable is the lesson on diligence, and again the discharge on responsibility. In verse 35 through verse 40, there's a discussion there about an obligation, how to be watchful and to be on guard. But I want to point out verse 42 and verse 43, when Peter asks about that parable, the Lord responds and He says, verse 42, Luke 12, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Find so doing. Again, the idea, the concept is that he has extended responsibilities unto his servants, and he wants to come and he wants to find them faithful. Now in chapter 19 we saw those words, occupy till I come, and here these servants are to be found so doing. Same idea, isn't it? Same concept, redeeming the time. Notice our text tells us that that's the faithful steward, that's the servant that he wants to find is a faithful one. Listen, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Do you look forward to that? Are you expecting to stand before the Lord and hear, well done, thou what? Good and faithful servant. We're also reminded by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and in verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So no matter what your obligations that have been given to you, my friend, I encourage you to recognize I need to redeem the time. I need to occupy till He come. I need to be found so doing. Go, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Very common text, but think of it in the line of thinking of which we are concerned with today. In Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 17, a very familiar passage, but here's a lesson with the premise that every aspect of life is to be lived for Him. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Look a little later under that passage, verse 23. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men." And yes, we ought to live for Jesus Christ. We ought to be pure and sanctified and holy and do things in His behalf. But that also tells us that we need to be doing things. And whatever we do. So in verse 24, it says that there's a reward for faithful service. "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." This is a lesson for us. Whatever we do in our lives, we want to do it for Jesus Christ. And that means we will need to redeem that time, won't we? If you would, go back to Ephesians and to the second chapter. And another lesson I mentioned to you. And I know that this verse is normally applied in, again, in a practical fashion of godliness or sanctified living. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And yes, this does talk about that that's how we ought to live, is a life of godliness and purity and a life of sanctification. That's what God desires us to do. But you notice that last part of that verse 10, it says that He ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in them. And that word walk means to walk. It is to roam about. It is to maintain a certain walk of life or conduct. We all have a walk, don't we? Now the walk that we have ought to be glorifying to God, but the fact is we do have a walk. And so when we think about this lesson of God's desire for His own, it is that matter of that good. Those good works should include a spiritual servitude. I need to be living for Jesus Christ, who saved me and gave His life for me. The last biblical exhortation I want to share with you is found in Romans chapter 14. Book of Romans chapter 14. And this is a lesson on how to serve Christ acceptably. Acceptably. It's Romans 14 and verse 17 and verse 18 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." And what we find here is that spiritual service is a kingdom service. If I'm going to follow the Lord and be faithful to Him and serve the Lord, I'm going to do that within the matter of the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. There is a spiritual service to be had. And pursuing spiritual service demands a faithful service. And so we find in the passage here that if we will do these things, if we will serve Christ, we can do that acceptably. And God will be pleased with that. Let me share with you a connected reference. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to read to you verse 28, where I read this: "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." How should I, as a child of God, live for Jesus Christ? Acceptably, with reverence and a godly fear. Do these lessons pertain to our main axiom for today? I believe that they do. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Turn, if you would, back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I've offered you the context by noting Paul's exhortation and the statement of the passage itself. I then have given you five lessons that also demonstrate this same application of redeeming the time. Now, as is the objective of my message, considering the idea that it's not too late, I want to offer you some biblical examples how that we can live for the Lord at any age. Biblical examples, young, old, in between. And I have several that I will list, but I'm only going to ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3 for just a moment. You know that God used Joash to be king over the children of Judah, and he was at the age of 7. 7 years old, he became king by God's appointment. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1. Did you know there was another king by the name of Josiah? He became king at the age of 8. What did you do when you were 8? Right? He became king at the age of 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1. But do you remember a fellow by the name of Samuel? Samuel the prophet. He was called of God as a child. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. Skip down to verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. When did God place his hand upon Samuel? When he was a young lad. When he was just a child. And some of you today say, well, I'm too young, there isn't anything I can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to wait until you're in your 20s or in your 30s to do anything for the Lord. That's an error. That's a lie. That's just wrong, isn't it? My friend, I want to encourage you to know that you can serve the Lord at a young age. Some of you were saved at a very young age, weren't you? You were saved in before you were 10. And some of you were saved in your teens. I was saved when I was 15. I'm glad that God could use me at the age of 15. I'm glad that God could use you at 8 or 9 or 10. God can use young people. Don't say, well, I can't serve the Lord because I'm too young. God has a place for you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're never too young to serve the Lord. You can follow after Him. So Samuel's an example of a young, but when you think about somebody that's old, and I look and see some older faces today, but do you know that Moses was 80 when God used him? When God brought him out of Egypt to deliver the children of Israel, he was 80. 80. His brother Aaron was 83, according to Exodus chapter 7 and verse 7. Were they too old to be used of God? They were not. Here in 1 Samuel, go over to chapter 4. I want to remind you of Eli the priest. Eli the priest died when he was 98 years old. 1 Samuel chapter 4, pick it up there in verse 15. Now Eli was 98 years old and his eyes were dim that he could not see. Verse 18, it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate and his neck brake and he died, for he was an old man in heaven. He had judged Israel for 40 years. Now the whole story is that they were fighting against the Philistines and they took the Ark of the Covenant out in order. They thought it was a good luck charm and figured that that would defeat the Philistines. But Eli wasn't real thrilled about that, but he being the high priest was watching to see how the battle came, and news came. Israel was defeated and the ark was taken, and he just fell off the chair backwards, snapped his neck because he was a fat fella. And he fell down, died. And when did he die? He was 98. But what I'm pointing out to you is, how long did he judge Israel? How long did he lead the nation? It says, for 40 years. What does that mean? When did he enter into the service of God as a judge over Israel? When he was 58. That's my age. 58. And some of you are saying, well, I'm too old to serve God. Well, Moses wasn't too old, and Aaron wasn't too old. Eli wasn't too old. He was 58, and he served God until he died at 98. I would remind you of Anna, who was called a prophetess, and she praised about the birth of Jesus over in Luke chapter 2. As a matter of fact, go over there. Luke chapter 2. Do you remember this lady? In Luke chapter 2, verse 36 and verse 37, we read, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age." How old was she? Well, she's of great age, but she was a prophetess of God, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about four years, which departed not from the temple, but serving God with fastings and prayers night and day. And what that means is, in the text, that she's an old woman, but after she was married for 7 years. Her husband died, and she's been widowed now for 84 years. 84 plus 7 makes her 91. And let's just say a conservative, she was married at the age of a tender 14 or 15. She was 105 at this time. But the Bible says at that age that she served God all the time in the temple and praising God and with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, I'm not saying you can do that, get out there and run the streets and do this and do that and do things around the building. But I'll tell you, you can pray, can't you? You're not too old to pray. You can fast for the Lord if you desire to. You're not too old for that, are you? Young or old, we can live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, there are those in between. I would remind you that Joseph was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh, Genesis 41 says. David was 30 when he became king over Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 5 tells us. There in Luke chapter 3, if you turn the page, look over there, I would remind you that John the Baptist and Jesus began the ministry at about age 30. Luke 3:23 says, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age." About 30 years of age. And back in chapter 1 and verse 36, 1:36 tells us that there was a 6 months difference between Jesus and John the Baptist. And so what do we find? In their prime. And I submit unto you, my friend, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're somewhere in between, we need to redeem the time. Redeem the time. Is the message clear? I hope that it is. Turn to Romans 13 for just a moment, and what I would like to do is offer you a few thoughts in closing. First of all, despite our age, we are commanded to redeem the time. I can't do everything that I used to be able to do, and I hurt more often, and I get tired quicker. But that doesn't mean I check out and quit serving God. There's things that I can do for Him. And there are things that you can do for Him. Despite our age, we are commanded to redeem the time. Secondly, although we vary in our talents or our obligations, I mean, the one parable that we looked at, just quick reference, they had 10 servants, they gave them 10 talents. But the other parable, they gave different talents to them, 1, 3, and 5. We all have different talents. We all have different obligations and duties that are disposed upon us by the Lord. But we all have the same amount of time, don't we? My day is just as long as your day, and your day is just as long as mine. And maybe I have greater obligation for the Lord than you. I don't know. Or maybe you have greater obligation to the Lord than me. But we all have the same amount of time. And so the question remains, are we found to be serving God? So you're up like Anna, and well, all you can do is fast and pray. Are you fasting and praying? Maybe you can be an encourager, an exhorter, start sending cards to people or emails, or pick up a phone and give a call and say, you know what, I was just thinking about you today and praying for you, and I just wanted you to know that you're being prayed for. That's an encourager. You can do that, can't you? Are we found to be serving God? Now, we found in our passage, and you're there in Romans chapter 13, but we found in our passage that the motive for doing so was because the days were evil. Remember that? Redeeming the time for the days were evil. Romans chapter 13, where I've invited you to turn. Look at verse 11. Paul wrote and he says, "In that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The days are evil and the days are dark. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ while you have opportunity. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. And so we find that we ought to let our light so shine. We're told that on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let our light shine. I submit unto you, my friend, that we are to be found faithful to what God has given us and what God has enabled us to do. Whatever that is, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He has something for you. There's an obligation, a responsibility, a talent, an opportunity. There are things that God wants you to do. And we are just simply to be found faithful in those things. I'm not saying you'll have to quit all your jobs now and all become missionaries and preachers. One, I don't think the ladies will do that because they're not called to the ministry. But what you find is, you know what? You can serve God where you are. Just be found faithful. Do what God would have you to do. And I say unto you, it's not too late to serve the Lord. Maybe you've wasted many years, but it's not too late. It's not too late. You say, I'm past my prime. It's not too late. I know the type of service may change, but we each have a service. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. And you that are lost, I point you to Jesus, because when you draw your last breath, there will go your last opportunity. Jesus is the Lord. He's the Savior. He alone can give you eternal life. You must repent and believe on Him. Without Him, you will not be saved. Redeem the time. Be saved today, dear sinner. Christian, redeem the time. Let's stand. Father, we commit this time to You today, thanking You for this opportunity to share. Just bless it to our hearts by the work of Your Holy Spirit. Meet every need and give encouragement, give instruction. Lord, just draw us to You. We pray for the lost that they might be saved. Help us to redeem the time. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the song is number 372.